From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Thursday, July 18th, 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Thank you for joining the conversation. You may also join us via our live stream on YouTube at ktoo.org/JPMLive or KTOO's Facebook and Instagram pages. Today, Moms Unhinged. It's a comedy show and it's returning to Juno this Saturday with two shows. And it's kind of like Christmas come early as you can choose the nice or the naughty show. We chat with comics Lisa Lane and Janae Supli. The University of Alaska Southeast has a new provost. We meet and chat with Dr. Scott Billingsley, who recently was appointed to the position. Plus, this week's Curious Juno. What happened to the Awooga button at the Gold Creek Power Plant? Those conversations are coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
So you're driving through a neighborhood, checking out the lawn ornaments, thinking about the leftover lasagna in your fridge, when all of a sudden a little girl runs out in the street. Oh no, you slam on the brakes. But it's okay, because you were going the speed limit. The lower limits posted in neighborhoods and school zones are there for a reason. So when the unexpected happens, you have time to stop. Even 5 miles over the limit could mean the difference between a near miss and a hit. Stop speeding before it stops you.
Paid for by the Alaska Highway Safety Office.
You're listening to KTOO. Today is Thursday, July 17th, and on this day in 1971, Bartlett Hospital officially opened. So a big happy birthday to Bartlett Regional Hospital, 54 years old today.
You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. You can also join us for a behind-the-scenes look in the studio on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. Are you ready for some laughs on topics like motherhood, midlife crisis, marriage, divorce, online dating, and other irritating topics that bother you? Well, Moms Unhinged may just be the ticket for you. It's a comedy show that's been selling out around the country, and it returns to Juno this Saturday at Centennial Hall for two shows. And I am joined now by two of these hilarious comics, Lisa Lane and Janae Supli. Thank you so much for joining us via the remote system and being on video on the stream. That's great. Wasiati to you, Lisa. How are you today?
I'm great, Boston. Great to be here virtually, but we got to just hear your sponsor, and I got very excited. Tomorrow we're stepping on an Alaskan airline flight, and we're going to be there in person. We can't wait.
That's awesome. And Janae, Gunathchish to you. Wasiati, how are you today?
Good, Boston. How are you? Thanks for having us.
I'm excellent. Loving all of the wonderful comics that come. We had a different crew last year. We were talking just before we went live on the stream. And so for those who may have went to see Moms Unhinged last year, it's a totally different crew this time around, right? So Lisa, tell us about Moms Unhinged and the sort of the stable of comics and how this works.
Yeah, Moms Unhinged is a, as you said, nationally touring group of comics. There are about 30 of us on the roster or in the stable. I use those words too.
Stable, yeah.
I do. We're the stable. We're the workhorses here. And so we travel all over. So every show is a different lineup. So the three comics who were there, the comedians last year, were different this time. And next time it'll be a different lineup. So that's a really fun thing that we get to offer, that diversity of voices. All of us are mothers. All of us are comedians. But we have a diversity of experiences regarding parenting, and that allows us to reach out, of course, to the diversity of parents and others in our audiences. And this night, Saturday night, is going to be especially fun because talk about diversity. We get a clean show at 7 and the uncensored show at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I said in the intro that I was like, it's sort of like Christmas come early because you got the naughty and nice. You can either be nice or you can be naughty.
Do both, because why do you know, two things can be true at once. We're hoping, I bet we're going to have some who come to both, because that's a thing. I think Janae will agree with me. After a lot of these shows, we normally keep them clean. We are PG-13 because, you know, we don't want to be offensive. Parenting, but parenting is messy and parenting is kind of raunchy sometimes. So after the shows, very often audience members kind of go, oh, we want more of that. You know, we want it a little bit dirtier. And so this will be fun for us to kind of Moms Unhinged by day and Moms Unleashed by night.
So let me get this out of the way. So this is at Centennial Hall this Saturday night, July 19th. There's a 7 o'clock show, which is the nice or clean show. And then at 10 o'clock, you can go to the naughty show. And just for people who might be interested, what's the best? I know you can go to momsunhinged.com and find a ticket link, right? I'm sure they're available here locally as well. Yeah.
Yep, that's correct. Well, yeah, Janae, you handle that.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe we're on Centennial Hall's conventions website, as well as the Moms Unhinged website. And also, walk on up. I'll probably be working the door because I'm hosting the thing. So, yeah, you can absolutely just show up and buy tickets at the door for either show. The more the merrier. So.
Great. I'm sure it's on for those. Oh, go ahead.
I just confirmed that our Airbnb hosts are going to be there. So that's
Oh, excellent. And for those locally, you can probably get tickets at jahc.org, which is the Centennial Hall. They manage that Centennial Hall, and that's the place to get tickets for Moms Unhinged. Okay, so we got the sort of the who and the where and the what out of the way a little bit. So let's talk comedy a little bit in terms of how you each got involved in this. I know you each have a different story. Janae, let's start with you. Like, when did comedy enter your life? Has your family always had the funny bone, or what was it about for you?
I would say so, yes. I grew up on SNL, Saturday Night Live. So I started, just kind of doing sketches with my brothers growing up, and then doing sketches. And I was in a couple short films in college, and then actually took a completely different trajectory. And I was in corporate America for almost 20 years. And then about 5 years ago, I was like, all right, bucket list. Let's get on stage. I've always wanted to do stand up, so let's go for it. And I actually did stand up classes here in Denver, Colorado. I'm not a self-taught person. I'm many things, but I was like, give me a curriculum,
right?
and I'll learn better that way. And then one of the instructors, who's now a good friend of mine, said I kind of pluck someone from different classes to have you start opening for me. So then I started opening, for her. And it's been kind of a strange trajectory since. I was working full time and then doing comedy for the last 5 years. But this month is my 1 year anniversary of doing stand up comedy full time. So
congratulations.
Thank you.
That's really awesome. It is so interesting because like getting to a point where you're living a dream, but then that dream can become the thing that actually financially sustains you. That's pretty amazing. And of course, I'm imagining that your comedy, obviously we talk about it in terms of Moms Unhinged, about being a mom and all the things parenting, but I can imagine you also have maybe mined a little bit of the corporate world in some of your comedy. Like, that's a pretty funny area, right?
Yeah. I definitely have some day job jokes. my name is kind of hard to say, Janae Sapley. So I had you know, one coworker who just couldn't get it and called me Jean Slurpee like quite a few times. So it kind of stuck. So I was like, all right, this is just, you know, more
that's
jokes
my name.
On stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my name.
Jean I understood Slurpee. Your last name because I know you're not related, but Ethan Suplee, who's an actor,
yes.
I'm sure you get that a lot in terms of like, is he your brother? What's going on with that?
I do. I don't know him personally. Don't get my aunt started on this conversation. She's full on harassed him on Facebook being like, we are related. Anyway, he does look like he could be a member of my
you gotta
family.
Do that.
So who knows?
You got to do the 23andMe situation or figure out how you ancestry.com, see how you're connected or something like that.
You know, I think he's avoiding my side of the family because I just got mine done and he wasn't on there. Sorry, Ethan, you're missing out on a good cousin.
So tell me, Janae, I know you took some classes, which is great because you kind of figure out like how to turn, you know, motherhood or being a parent and how do you sort of look at that and then turn that into a joke. I sort of want like the behind the scenes of how do you make it funny?
Sure. And when I started doing comedy, my daughter's 2.5. So I started doing comedy before I became a mom. So plucking a lot from like if you have unique childhood stories, that was kind of, so there's actually kind of, you know, kind of a secret sauce, an algorithm, if you will. Like there's 5 topics you can choose from. You know, you can talk about childhood, day job, marriage, relationships, parenthood. Like there's just specific topics that are just much more relatable to audiences. So I kind of started with a lot of childhood jokes and kind of built my comedy from there. And then I got married and my husband's a ridiculous person in like the best in the best way. So it kind of just flowed from there. And if you can't tell, I'm from Chicago, Illinois, which we talk with our hands a lot. I'm a very physical person. So usually my comedy starts with like a physicality. We call them act outs in comedy. So usually I start with an act out of like, oh, that was ridiculous, or a reaction that someone had, and then kind of work backwards and build the joke into a story. So
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think, you know, I don't take any offense, but I do think men are perfect fodder for for comedy, especially in a marriage, right?
Fodder is the best word. Yes, it is. Yeah, no. So a lot of jokes about marriage. And then again, since my, you know, daughter is just now 2.5, definitely getting, you know, a lot of, I mean, when I submitted my Mom's Unhinged tape, I really think our founder, Andrea Vall, selected me because I submitted a tape performing when I was almost 9 months pregnant.
Oh my.
And I was just throwing that belly again, very physical comedy. So it all worked out. So
that's pretty amazing. I love that. And Lisa, what's your story? Where did your comedy begin for you? Did it start in childhood or?
Yeah, that's funny. It's so interesting. We have this is the diversity of voices of motherhood, right? I mean, you're looking at two blonde ladies from Denver, Colorado, but it's so different. I did the opposite. I got into comedy because of my children. I was a performer way back in the day, a theater actor, and trained in that profession. But then I was a mom for, you know, 22 years, and I was a high school teacher. I was teaching high school English, and as my children became teenagers, I felt like my life was falling apart, and I realized I had right in front of me a living laboratory. I had all these teenagers that I was forging these real relationships with. And because I taught at a private high school, I knew their parents as well. So I started doing some serious research. The question was, how is it that some of these families seem to survive the adolescent years more intact than others? I mean, it's rough for everybody, and we don't do good parents or bad parents, but how come it is that some of these kids seem to not stray so far off the path, and some of them go so far off the path? So I started with doing interviews of hundreds of teenagers and their parents. And then it turned into more serious research, and I did a lot of reading. And I wrote a book in 2017 called Beyond Mama Bear, How to Survive the Balancing Act of Parenting Teenagers. And the book is a little bit funny. I mean, it's got a fun tone to it. It's an easy, fun read, but it's a serious book full of not advice about what I did. don't look at me. My parenting is marked much more by failure than grace, I promise you. But look what I learned. And then I wrote a second book, created a second book, which is much more of a funny book. It's a fake, like a baby book for, you know, when you're a baby, you keep track of their first steps, baby's first words. And this is a book called Teenagers Suck. And it's a memory book for parents during the awful and awkward years. And so it's a place to record things like baby's first misdemeanor. Hey, baby's first terrible report card. You just put that in there and keep track of it. And you can keep a track of all the stuff they've lost in 1 month, because that's how you know you have a teenager in that. So I wrote that, and that was kind of funny. And what I was doing was like PTSA groups and church groups and parenting groups. I was kind of presenting my research on this book and this concept. And I was a performer, so it was okay. But I never, ever, ever thought it was funny. I did not grow up in a funny family. Being funny got me in trouble as a kid. Mm. And that's something that I love asking other women comics, because for a lot of us, it got you out of trouble, right? And it, for me, it's like, no, I wasn't encouraged. So I realized this, I'm a performer. Oh, I should make this a little better. I should juice it up. It should be more like a performance than a standing behind a podium. And I realized there was a live audience every single night of the week, 4 or 5 shots a night to go out and tell 3 minutes at a time. Do comedy. And I thought, okay, I'll try it. And then it became such a fascinating writing exercise for me. And then I became completely and utterly addicted to it. And it kind of has saved my life, because comedy, I must talk about the things that are unfunny, right? It's like, if we don't laugh, we'll cry. And so for me, the process of writing jokes and finding the funny is just that. What is funny? Finding the funny in something that doesn't seem funny. Because, and honestly, as my father was dying from terrible Alzheimer's and Lewy body dementia, and as my kids were rebelling and growing up, telling jokes about it helped me. And then I realized there's this magic. It helps other people too. Mm. And it's so much more fun for me, and I think for the audience, is to be talking about how much our kids suck and all of this, but we're laughing about it instead of crying about it. And that's such a rewarding feeling for all of us. At the end of these shows, nobody wants to go home. I mean, audience and us alike, and people come up and tell us, oh God, how did you know that? How did you know my kid's doing that to me? You know, it's so rewarding for every single one of them.
That universal experience of like getting our kids to be adults, like how do we get there? And the tragedy and the comedy of it all.
Yep.
And it's a shared experience. You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. I'm talking with Lisa Lane and Janae Suplee. We're talking about Moms Unhinged, which is a comedy show that's happening this Saturday night at Centennial Hall. There's two shows, a nice and naughty show. At 7 o'clock is the nice show, and then do you want to stay late, or if you have to put the kids to bed and then come to the show, you can get a little naughty at 10 o'clock, and it's all going to be at Centennial Hall. And you can go to jahc.org to find out more information, or go to momsunhinged.com. So what I'm curious about is how do we with the different, there's three comics. We should also mention Mandy Simonson will also be there on Saturday night. So there's three of you. And tell me what we can expect on Saturday in terms of like the differences between, because obviously your experiences may be similar, but they're completely different. And also your style of humor might be different. So tell me about what we can expect between the three of you on Saturday night.
And I do want to shout out our very good friend, Mandy, who will be joining us from Portland, Oregon. She is a hilarious, hilarious comedian with an amazing life experience. And there again, the diversity. Janae has a little kid. Mandy has a child still in high school. And I am an empty nester now. Most of my jokes are about my teenagers when they were in the house. But believe me, the gifts keep on giving. So that's right. And it is so fascinating. You think, okay, you're watching three women doing jokes, how could there be diversity there? How is it not going to just be the same thing over? Isn't it fascinating, Janae? Like, I can have a joke about, for example, menopause. And I promise you, Mandy has jokes about menopause too. But we just listen to each other. They're not the same jokes, right? Mm-hmm. Each of us has our own little angle on it. Each of us is different. I mean, Janae, what do you think? Well, how would you describe our three different styles for this particular lineup?
I think you said it really well, Lisa. It's just, we're at such, even if, you know, our comics are you know, the same age, your kids are the same age. And like to Lisa's point, definitely not right in this group, because I have a toddler. I'm almost 40 with a toddler. What am I doing? Right. Like what's wrong with me is the first, is the first question. But then Mandy actually has a very, unique background. She, like to Lisa's point, she has teenage children. She used to be a police officer.
Oh.
And just has a very kind of wealth of occupational, you know, variety.
She also has an adopted child. Sorry to interrupt yes. you. She also yep. has an adopted child. Also, yep. not, so that's also different.
Yeah, also has an adopted child. And yeah, and I mean, just kind of, you know, even different points in motherhood, different points in womanhood as well. So I think we just all bring such a, and again, this is what I love about Moms Unhinged too, is everyone is, you know, very well polished too. We are, you know, professional comedians. We get questions afterward of like, well, I'm the funny one in my group. What, you know, what if? I'm like, yeah, get that tape, girl. Go to those open mics. Do, you know, 5 to 10 years of grinding as, yes. you know, at, plus as Lisa and I have. So kind of just even your different experience, not only as a mother and a woman, but just these different experiences as professional comedians really helps develop our unique voices. So, and Mandy, she does a lot of crowd work, so you can see that. The other nice piece about it is, again, we just have kind of the different segments. Like I'm hosting the show, so you'll see me at the door. I get everybody, you know, warmed up, just kind of psyched to be there. And I have the honor to introduce Mandy, who's our feature comedian, and then Lisa, who's our wonderful headliner. So again, you know, it's just kind of a very unique just flow in how we go about it.
I
Did
love
I miss
that.
Anything, Lisa?
Yeah. Well, no, I think that's great. And I think that this particular show, it's interesting. We are all three pretty high energy comics. That's
yeah,
not always true.
True.
We all true. Three, and just to the people know what they're getting at in this particular show, we are all pretty high energy comedians.
Yeah.
But again, different life perspectives, totally different styles on stage. But all, I mean, we're all pretty high energy. We all do a little act out, but let's write Janae is completely ridiculous with her act outs. I mean, it's that's what's delightful about it.
Yeah, no,
Mandy's right, and Mandy's yeah, like you said, her crowd work and her riffing just so fun. And I mean, I'm hilarious also. But yeah. The other
yes,
thing
you
that you can know from every Moms Unhinged show, wherever you are across the country, and it's so fun when we have four shows packed across the country on one night. It's so awesome because, by the way, Boston, I don't know if you're aware, but we have been told our whole lives that women aren't that funny. So I don't know what's going on.
You're packing the houses.
Yep. But Moms Unhinged, one thing that we can always guarantee you, it will be a positive, uplifting experience. It will never be, the dirty show will be dirtier, but it's not going to be offensive or political or disgusting. We are positive people. We are trying to raise the vibrations, as our special headliner, Nancy Norton, always reminds us. And we do not bash men. Men are totally welcome at these shows. We'd love to have them there. It's an interesting feeling for these men being there in a crowd of mostly Moms Night Out, but we will never shame you and we will never roast you too hard. Men are a wonderful source of fodder, like you said, for our comedy, but we love them and we need them. So we are never good. It's going to be, and that's my point, is that whatever the comics you see on these shows across the country, it will be positive, uplifting, never offensive, never political. And it's a great, great time for everybody and laughing together. That's the best thing. I realized at a show, Janae, you and I were on it together. In February, I think, a woman came up afterwards and told me something that I just went, oh my God, life goals. Like, really, this is a pinnacle of my life. She told me that she had peed her pants a little during my set. And I was so proud.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know that it's interesting. I think, you know, men can probably learn a little something too. And if obviously...
Yeah.
You have to be willing to, you know, laugh at yourself, right? And laugh at your experience in life, whether you're a man or a woman. And Lisa, I'm curious because it sounds like you've been doing it for a while and making things happen. And, you know, where are we in, I have so many questions for y'all, but let's get this one out of the way. Where are we in terms of, you mentioned, you know, that people think of women as not funny, right? Like, but I think the state of comedy has changed a little bit. I want to talk about social media a little bit, but where do you find where are women now in terms of comedy, in terms of being respected as comics? How do you feel about that?
It's a wonderful time to be a woman, not gonna lie. I mean, it's look at the middle-aged women. Leanne Morgan just got a sitcom. Come on, you know, it's a great time. I mean, for us, it's amazing. And in the post Me Too and all of the PC and all of the craziness of the country, it's pretty awesome for us to be able to have a stage. I mean, Moms Unhinged, Andrea, our founder, made this stage for us, gave us this voice, but also because she recognized our audience weren't seeing their voices represented on stage, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful time, but I will tell you, coming up in comedy as a woman, something else, you know? I mean, I did nearly 500 open mics in 2019. And so do the math on that. That means several a night. And that means going to seedy bars at 2 o'clock in the morning. So there's a safety issue and there's a real vulnerability knowing that I'm a female and I don't like it, but that's true. And just coming up that way. I mean, yeah, it's a little bit harder. It's interesting. But the funny thing is, like, these jokes that I was working on about teenagers and about menopause, right? About hot flashes. When I was working on those in bars at 2 o'clock in the morning to a bunch of young 25-year-old comedians coming up, it was so hard. I mean, it really was. That alone was just like, it's, I kind of tell, okay, I think there was a little bit of a warm response. So I guess that joke is probably pretty good. And then, like, if there were women in any, right, Janae, any open mic, if there's any women there, I'm the hero of the night. And it was like, okay, so this is a need. There's something out there, but where the heck is it? And now, oh my gosh, these Moms Unhinged shows, my husband says it's like shooting fish in a barrel, but I mean, it's like there's a step that we don't have to take to translate it. Yeah. I can just seriously, I mean, and that doesn't mean that we are lazy about it, by the way. I like to say, I can step out on that stage and say, hot flash, and there's just a recognition, right? We laugh, but also we want to bring, we know it. We all have this common experience. It's, thank God it is common now. Halle Berry stood on the steps of the Capitol and yelled about menopause. Awesome, we have a voice, but we don't want to waste it. We want to bring a really high quality product to the audience. And so continuing to dig deep and refine jokes and make sure that they are timely and also that they are reaching the audiences that we need as the world is so weird and changes, you know? It's quite a thing.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, a couple more questions for you before you wrap up. So I'm curious about the jokes that you have for the Nice and the Naughty show. And I'm curious if you have a joke that you tell in both, but in one of them changes or you add some other details in the second telling of it in the Naughty show. Does that happen? Do you have that kind of joke in the repertoire?
I can jump in. So this is the second time ever Moms Unhinged. So so happy to be having our second show with this in Juneau. Obviously, we're, you know, selling out shows all over the nation. But when we do this Naughty Nice kind of stack, I was on the first one that we had, and I was the kind of the middle performing comic on that one. And then so I had to do 2 30-minute sets the last time. And then this one I'm really excited for. So yes, I would say yes. And one thing we kind of always do is get an idea, just to, like, if you want to buy tickets for both, because we do different jokes. But yeah, absolutely. You know, if there's something that we know is particularly relatable, you know, the last time I did this, there was one joke that, you know, I personally just love, and it makes fun of my husband for approximately 7 minutes. And it's just like one of my personal favorites. But what I'll do is just make sure, you know, if there's, I mean, again, I don't cuss a ton on stage, and the dirty shows I do. But, you know, just making sure it's a little squeakier, changing up the format, and that it's acceptable for people that are expecting to come to a clean show. So just me personally, I tend to switch it up quite a bit if I can. But there are a couple of the favorites that you just, you know, you got to bring on. They're crowd pleasers. And like I said, I get to make fun of my husband.
Well, and sometimes it's, you know, I mean, there's been comics who've talked about this in the past, where, you know, some people say, oh, it's easy to swear, it's easy to cuss in there and make that part of the joke. And, you know, and obviously there's times where that is the joke, where something is a little bit naughtier. But it's also, is it a challenge to work clean or to work that way? Or is it, you know,
It's a heck of a challenge for me. I'm good at it now, but I got better at it. I went and did nursing homes for a couple of years, retirement homes, and that they just make you be clean. I mean, they don't even, my merch says, don't be a dick. I say that's the family motto, raising two sons with one family motto, don't be a dick. My mom thinks dick is a bad word in that case, right? And so that's one thing. I will change it for a very squeaky clean show to don't be a jerk. Right?
I see, okay.
So, but I was, right, but I mean, really before I disciplined myself and wanted to get cleaner so I could do longer cleaner sets. And now I have just been signed by a cruise ship agent. And that was the goal for me all along, was because you have to be really clean. And that's like, all right, cool. So it was hard for me. I just last night, I went to a stupid open mic and I saw an old friend of mine on the hang that I've known since I was coming up 10 years ago. And he really goes, you do not have 45 minutes of clean material, Lisa. You do not. I mean, they can't fathom it because I was very dirty.
Right.
So what I have done for the Moms Unhinged stuff is take some of the dirty stuff, which is about, like, the topic is my children, my hormonal teenage children. Okay. So what we're talking about is human sexuality and how much that is difficult for when you're raising your own children. When I'm talking at a clean show, I use a lot of euphemisms and I kind of push it a little bit. But it's kind of like, we all know what we're talking. Oh, okay, I'm using euphemisms. In the dirty show, I will get more to it. And in my case, it will be less, it's not about the swearing. It's not about like anything like that being harsher. It'll be sexual. It'll be sexy.
I see.
It'll be
okay.
Talking yeah. about, for me, that's what the dirty stuff is. And seriously, sometimes, I mean, it's hilarious. It's my crowd pleasers. It's my favorite stuff. But I always think, what if my auntie were in the audience? What if my pastor's wife? We're in the audience. I don't want to, we all know what happens between the sheets. We all have children, right? So that's the fun thing for me about this late night opportunity is getting to have the moms there who want to let their hair down and who aren't, you know, who are going to be okay with, we're going to say some things here because it's just real. And parenting is dirty and messy.
It is.
And gross, but it's also fun. And so when I say dirty, to me, that it's like, it's fun, but it's sexier. It's not nasty and it's
right,
not
right,
cussing.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And then social media, I know you both post on social media. It's become like part of the game, right? Like to have short clips and to have little YouTube shorts and Instagram and TikTok. And do you like doing that or is that just part of the game?
I specifically hate it and I'm terrible at it. And I just today was like, gosh, if I cared about this, I should really probably, one of my goals in Alaska, I was just thinking about this today. I need to get everybody in that those shows to follow me on Instagram. It actually makes a difference. So yeah. I'm giving away free merch. I have a very cool little bottle opener keychain. Every single one of you who comes to the show in Juneau, Alaska and shows me that you followed me on the Instagram, I will give you a free thing and then I will promise to sincerely start trying to make better and more consistent content.
Not for nothing, Lisa, but if I had to choose between the two of you to not like social media, I would have chosen you.
I wonder why. Really? Imagine that.
You know what? In all transparency, I was homeschooled and didn't see a computer until I was like 11 years old. So I've been behind the whole process, but I am on Instagram. I am on TikTok. I am posting and creating content. So yeah, to your point, it's part of the game, but also I think with my sketch background and kind of those chops, I'm getting more motivated and excited.
I am too. And to your point, it's not just because I'm dusty and don't know how. I'm actually quite tech savvy. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
But I just truly don't enjoy it.
I understand.
I'm going to get better. I'm inspired also.
I love it. And you get a free bottle cap if you go to the show. Let's shout out your Instagrams and then I'll put up the flyer one more time and give the dates. But where can we follow you, Lisa Lane?
Lisa Lane comedy everywhere. It's like Lois Lane, just one letter different. And believe it or not, that did not occur to my parents.
Interesting.
It was just one letter away from Lois Lane. So lisalanecomedy.com and everywhere else.
And Janae Suplee, maybe spell your name so people know how it's spelled and let people know where they can find you.
Yeah, absolutely. Janae Suplee Comedy. That's JeneSuplee. Just think of my non-cousin Ethan. Look up that name and you'll see me on there. Instagram, TikTok, and JeneSuppleeComedy.com.
And of course,
or
this is
Slurpees.
Yeah, or Slurpees. It's Moms Unhinged. It's at the Centennial Hall Convention Center this Saturday night, 7 p.m. for the nice show, 10 p.m. for the naughty show. You can see Janae Supli, Mandy Simonson, and Lisa Lane. Thank you so much for this wonderful conversation, for joining me on Juno Afternoon today. And hope you travel safe up to Juno. The weather's been pretty good, so you might get some good weather while you're up here.
Can't wait. We're just so excited. Thank you very much, Boston. What a lovely
conversation.
Awesome.
Gunnar the Chiefs for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
Can't wait.
Okay.
Can't
wait. Up next on Juno Afternoon, we have this week's Curious Juno. What happened to the Awooga button at the Gold Creek Power Plant? This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO.
Nestled in the Flats neighborhood near Juno's Federal Building is the city's oldest and longest-running hydropower plant. For many, the large blue building is just a noisy part of the neighborhood. But for lifelong Juno residents like Kevin Gullifson, the building has a fun little Easter egg.
When I pressed this years ago, and this was about 10 years ago, it would make this really satisfying, like, awooga sound, you know, like a Tex Avery cartoon.
Gullifson is talking about a small black button next to the power plant's door on Capitol Avenue. A sign on the door states that hearing protection is required inside, and there's a hum of machinery in the air. Gullifson was one of many people that pressed the button as they walked by, especially in his 20s.
I lived on the corner over here coming out of college, and it was like our favorite thing to do coming to and from the bars with my three roommates was to press this button right here, and then sometimes we'd run like we, you know, were little kids playing a prank or something like that.
But now, the button's silent. For Curious Juno, Gullifson wanted to know what the button is for and what happened to it. The answer to what this so-called Awooga button is a simple one.
A favorite of the Juno public to push on the way by. I remember it from when I was a kid as well. But yeah, it's a doorbell. It is just a loud industrial doorbell.
That's Brian Farrell, the chief power generation operator for AEL&P, which owns and operates the power plant. He's speaking from the relatively quiet AEL&P office in Lemon Creek. But over at the power plant, things get loud. Really loud.
These are just the hydro units running. These are the diesels over here. If these were running, it'd be considerably louder.
Back in the quieter office, he said that loud noise required a really loud doorbell.
It used to be that there was someone within that building actually operating those units. And within that building, there's another control room. So they'd be inside that control room, and that had to be loud enough to alert them in that control room.
But Farrell says they disconnected the doorbell about 5 years ago, partly because of the noise.
People do like to push that on the way by, and it is a loud sound. So if you're in there working on something and someone pushes that doorbell on their way by, it can be a little bit jarring. And then also we just disconnected it because we don't want people to be distracted when they're in there working by those loud noises.
He says there's also no need for a doorbell anymore because of cell phones.
You would just call someone knowing that there's an operator in there to get their attention, or we would call our main operations center and they could radio into that building. But there is no current doorbell.
The building's doorbell is still there now, but it's just effectively a button. So what did it sound like? Gullifson gave his best impression.
It was like a mix between like a Tex Avery thing, like Wile E. Coyote going, awooga, and then a tsunami siren, because if you would hold this down, it would keep going.
Farrell declined to give his impression. Instead, he reconnected the doorbell one more time for KTOO to capture the sound that delighted and annoyed Juno residents for years. But for now, that small black doorbell will go back to being a defunct relic of the past. In Juno, I'm Jamie Deep.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
Join Theater Alaska for Climate Fair for a Cool Planet. This family-friendly event is happening on Saturday, July 26th at 2 p.m. at Overstreet Park next to the whale sculpture. Enjoy live music, puppetry, and theater performances celebrating our environment by talented artists from Juno. Climate Fair for a Cool Planet is open to the public. Information available at theateralaska.org. This message brought to you by Theater Alaska.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. After a nationwide search, the University of Alaska Southeast has announced Dr. Scott Billingsley as the new provost. I'm pleased to welcome him now to the studio. Gunathchish Haigudi, thank you so much for coming in, Scott. It's a pleasure to meet you. Wasiati, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Boston.
So Dr. Scott Billingsley as the new provost. So first of all, I'm always confused about this in terms of like chancellor, provost, dean. What does a provost do?
So you are not the only one who is confused by this. That is the $64,000 question. What is a provost?
Yeah.
What do they do? So I am the chief academic officer for the university.
Okay.
And so it's my responsibility to make sure students get a good education, the best education possible.
Okay.
So my job is to ensure that the faculty are qualified, that the curriculum is sound, that the support staff have the resources that they need. And so anything that has to do with academics, ultimately, that's my responsibility.
I see. Okay. Well, that's a good breakdown of it because I've always been confused about that. So you have been in Juneau how long?
Just shy of 3 weeks.
Okay.
So I got to town about 10 o'clock on June 29th at night. And started work on July 1st.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, yeah. So started with the new academic year, basically, yeah?
Just about, yeah. The academic year will start in August. We'll bring faculty back in early August, and then students will start classes in mid-August. And so, yeah, I'm kind of hitting the ground running here.
That's awesome. So let's talk about your background. We'll talk about the stuff at UAS in just a little bit, but we gotta meet you and know what's going on here. So where did you come from?
So I drove here from North Carolina.
Okay.
I had been at the University of North Carolina at Pembroke since 2003. I went there fresh out of graduate school as a history professor.
Okay.
And so I worked there in the history department, directed the graduate social studies education program for about 12 years, and then I moved over to the dark side of administration about 10 years ago.
I see. And what made that move for you in terms of moving into admin? What decided that for you?
I don't know that there was any one particular thing. My first job out of college, I was teaching high school, and I did that for a couple of years. And I stopped teaching high school in part because I didn't want to be an administrator.
Yeah.
And so you see where that landed me, you know, 35 years later.
You're a suit.
yeah, except I don't really get into wearing ties.
You don't think about that.
Occasionally, yeah.
You're good in Alaska then for sure.
That's good. That was part of the draw.
Jeans wearing, you know, nice Oxford shirt, and that's all you really need, right? That's kind of good. So I feel like there's a little, I was a professor for a few years in Virginia. Mm-hmm. I also am a Tar Heel. I went to Chapel Hill for grad school, so I know North Carolina pretty well. Wonderful state, beautiful place to live. Never went to Pembroke, but I love Chapel Hill. That was a beautiful place. But I just think about that, like, even when I was a professor, I was only a professor for maybe 4 or 5 years, and I did see that as, like, that was sort of the path, is, like, you teach for a while, and then you sort of, and I talked to Dr. Palmer, the chancellor out at UAS, about this, too, in terms of, like, do you still get to work on the things that you were interested in, you know? For her, it's marine biology. For you, it's history. So, you know, when you make that transition, obviously there's a pay jump, right? You get a little more money, and then there's more responsibility, which is, you know, administrative. But have you ever had the thought of, like, I'd rather be in the classroom full time, or do you still get to teach maybe a class here and there? How does that work for you?
So some people look at moving into an administration as a move up professionally. I don't really see it that way.
Yeah.
I think it's just a different type of job.
Right.
And there are some folks that they are very happy being faculty, and that's what they want to do. And for many years, that was my attitude. I really didn't, you know, have a great desire to move into administration. But a friend of mine, he was my jogging partner for many years I was in North Carolina, kind of convinced me that I had some administrative skills and that maybe I should try them out. And so for me, the administrative part of it, it's a fun job.
Right.
And I never thought I would say that about a job like this, but I get to work with faculty, I get to work with staff, I get to work with students, I get to figure out ways to give those students, you know, a great education. And so it's different than being in the classroom. And for probably the first 8 years or so that I was in administration, I hung on to a class. Mm-hmm. I continued to teach a class every semester. I'm hoping that at some point I may be able to do that again. I haven't been able to do as much research as I would have liked. I mean, you just don't always have the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I have kept an academic conference in my calendar every year.
I see.
So
okay.
I stay connected to the teaching. I stay connected to the scholarship. And I try to interact with students just as much as I can.
Your jogging buddy, you know, I think that's a good thing when a friend can be like, hey, maybe you've got, you know, you've got problems. Because usually to be an admin or do that kind of job, you have to have problem solving skills. You have to have that critical thinking that allows for that. Whereas teaching is a really wonderful, like, you know, beautiful passing on of knowledge and watching the bright lights in a student light up when they get it, you know, that kind of thing. But this kind of a job is really fascinating, and it sounds like it's a good fit for you. So that's good. So what is the thing that drew you to, like, I know for me, I used to have a joke, Scott, where I would be like, I moved from Alaska to North Carolina for grad school, back to Alaska, to New York, to Los Angeles, to Alaska, to Virginia, back to Alaska, right? And I used to have a joke, I said, when I move, I don't move across town, I move across country. So what made you think about, had you ever been to Alaska before? Was there something about Southeast Alaska that drew you? Or what was it that kind of saw this as a good fit for you?
So I had been to Alaska. I went on an Alaskan cruise about 20 years ago.
Okay.
And so one of the stops was Juneau. And so I'd actually been to Juneau and Skagway, Ketchikan. Mm. But I did not. So I tell people, some folks have asked me, you know, so what was the draw to Alaska for this job? And I tell them that I really didn't put geographical restrictions on my job search when I was looking. And so when you do that, you could end up in Alaska. So I was looking at specific types of jobs, particularly provost jobs, at specific types of institutions. So I wanted to go to a public regional institution. And, you know, we're not the big research institutions. University of Alaska Fairbanks is the research institution in the UA system. You know, we're not that. It's not a small, you know, private liberal arts college.
Right.
It's the type of institution that serves students, serves the citizens of a particular region, and gives them opportunities that they may not necessarily have.
Yeah.
And so that was the type of university that I wanted to go to. And I've been working in the provost office at UNC Pembroke for 10 years. And so I knew that was the job that I wanted to do.
Gotcha. Okay. And you see potential at UAS in terms of like, now we can start talking about provost stuff. Like you see potential in the opportunity for UAS to do what? To grow, to get deeper? What is it that you're looking to do?
So one of the things that post-secondary education is facing just generally, but particularly with the public regional universities, is recruitment and retention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, post-secondary education is, you know, dealing with a lot of different issues right now in a lot of different ways, from, you know, funding to the perception in the public and those sorts of things. And so there are a lot of institutions like UAS that may be struggling with, you know, attracting students, or maybe struggling with retention. And this is across the board, you know, nationally. If you read the Chronicle of Higher Education, there's, you know, always articles in there about these topics. And so these are some things that I see at UAS that I can hopefully help with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have, you know, worked in those areas in enrollment management, in advising and student success measures. At UNC Pembroke, and you know, I want to bring the experience and the skills that I had in North Carolina to UAS to try to help us, you know, to grow numerically, but to also, you know, figure out, okay, you know, what are we really good at? And I think you know, UAS has some great programs. You know, you look at the natural science programs, the language program, mm-hmm. the Native Alaska language program. I mean, they've got some great things going on. And I want to figure out how can I help build on those things and then see what are some areas that maybe we can, you know, grow into.
Yeah, because I know, I mean, Juneau has its challenges, right? We have housing issues. We have retention issues of just people living here because it's getting so outrageous in terms of that. And then I think about students, you know, and when you grow up in a small town, a lot of times, you know, as a young high school student here in Juneau, you're probably thinking, I don't want to go to UAS. I went to UAA. I was from Anchorage and I ended up going to UAA. But at first you go, I don't want to go to UAA. I want to go somewhere outside. But then you go to the local college and you realize there's a lot there, right? Yeah. So is that kind of like part of your job is to get that message out that, hey, you can actually get a great education right here in Juneau, and or are you also then trying to attract either other Southeast residents or people from around Alaska or maybe even out of state to come to US because you figure out what you're good at and you can say, hey, we have the best XYZ program. If you want that, come to Southeast Alaska.
So I think it's important for students to go to a university that is a good fit for them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've met a lot of students that, you know, they grew up and they were Tar Heels. You know, that mm-hmm. was their team and they watched the Tar Heels play basketball, University of North Carolina play basketball, and that's where they wanted to go. And they were from, you know, a small town in southeastern North Carolina. And they went there and they were in a class with 500 people. And they were just kind of a number, and they never really interacted much with their professors. Mm. And it wasn't a good fit for them. And very often they would end up coming back home to, mm-hmm. you know, the school that was nearby. There are other folks that, you know, they want to go off to school. I thought when I was 18 years old, I thought the point of college was getting as far away from home as possible.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that was my goal.
Yeah.
And that's what worked for me.
Yeah.
But for a lot of folks, sometimes they do need to stay close to mm-hmm. home, you know, and especially students who go to a place like UAS, they have a lot of other responsibilities. Very mm-hmm. often they're first generation students or maybe they're non-traditional students. You know, they don't fall into that, you know, 18 to 24-year-old typical, you know, college student age range. They may have jobs or they may have responsibilities at home where they're taking care of elders or they're taking care of, you know, younger siblings.
Right.
And so they need the type of university that will give them that flexibility to do those things that they need to do, you know, whether it's a job or home responsibilities, but also get a good education.
Well, I look forward to talking more with you as you get deeper into the job and you're getting situated here in Juneau. Welcome to town for sure. I want to make sure we mention a couple things. We want to shout out Dr. Heidi Pearson, right?
Yes. So Heidi Pearson has just been awarded her second Fulbright Award. And so the Fulbright program is a longstanding program. The U.S. State Department sponsors it, and they choose some of the best scholars and folks in higher education to go really around the world and do some wonderful things. Mm-hmm. And so Dr. Pearson is going to Portugal. She leaves here in a few weeks. And she is going to study marine mammals. So she's one of our, she's a marine biologist. And she looks at conservation and how to, you know, best manage the resources that we have in marine biology. And so really exciting time for her.
Yeah, congratulations, Dr. Heidi Pearson. And real quick, we also have, this is kind of fun. There's a UAS license plate design that we can all gather and get. How's that working?
Yes. So Crystal Worrell, who is a local artist.
Oh, yeah.
I believe she lives here in Juneau.
She does.
Designed it, worked with Allison Krein, who's our creative director at UAS, and really kind of adapted UAS's logo for the DMV to put on one of their on their license plate. And so it's a great way to support post-secondary education in Alaska, to support the University of Alaska system, but more specifically, to support UAS.
Oh, that's excellent. That's so cool. And I'm sure we have monthly updates with UAS. I'm sure we'll be having you back on to talk about future things like registration and different programs. I know Dr. Palmer, the chancellor, has highlighted a few of those. The Technical College downtown here that has some cool programs for high school students. And there's all kinds of stuff you can learn about. What's the best place now in the summertime to look? Is it to go to uas.edu, or is it and find, you know, or it's uas.alaska.edu yeah. is the website, and just look at what's coming up? Is that what should we be thinking about as students?
Yeah, so the website is a great thing. Go to uas.alaska.edu. The homepage there will guide you to a number of resources. If you want to apply for admission, you know, you can, you know, work through our admissions department there. If you're already admitted and you're looking for classes to take this fall, you can find the schedule there. I was actually tooling around in the schedule yesterday.
Yeah.
I told Kevin Krein, our director of outdoor studies, that I wanted to audit some of his classes. So I've already checked out the rock climbing class. That's offered this fall. So, you know, lots of resources there on the homepage.
Awesome. That's great. And last question for you, and I definitely look forward to talking more about this because I do love, you know, I love, you know, vibing with Dr. Aparna Palmer about her her marine biology and her areas of study in terms of polychaetes and tardigrades and stuff like that. It's so fun. So what was your area of specific area of research, or in terms of your history? What is your area?
So I specialize in American religious history, and mostly 20th century U.S. history. My early work, I actually did research on televangelists.
Oh.
And so I studied the rise of black and female charismatic evangelists in the late 20th century, early 21st century. So people like T.D. Jakes, who has a 20,000-member church in Dallas, Texas, or Joyce Meyer, who has a big traveling ministry. And so I researched that early in my career.
That sounds really fascinating. Do you know of – are you into theater at all? Do you know theater at all?
So it's funny because I sort of got roped into doing some theater when I was in North Carolina. I did a little bit with the theater at UNC Pembroke.
Okay.
I did some community theater. So the Lumbee Indians are the largest American Indian tribe east of the Mississippi River, and they're home is in they're headquartered in Pembroke, and so they have a play called Strike at the Wind that is put on every summer in connection with the Lumbee Tribe of North Carolina and UNC Pembroke. So I've done that the last couple of summers.
Okay.
I did a little bit of Shakespeare in the Park. I would not, you know, consider myself in any way a thespian, but
well, there's
I've
just
done a little bit. I've dabbled.
The reason I ask is there's a wonderful play, and if televangelists and 20th century, if that's your area in terms of history, there's a play called The Christians, and it's by Lucas Naith, and it's about a televangelist, and he... there's a whole lot of things going on in the play, but the basic concept of the play is that he tells his congregation, this large congregation, that they're no longer going to believe in hell. And like that then becomes that's the inciting action for the play, and then everything that happens after that. It'd be fascinating to talk to you about that, get you the play and have you read it.
Yes.
And get your take on it as a historian, because I think that's such a fascinating area to talk about. So what a great thing in American history to look at and be studying. That's so cool. Dr. Scott Billingsley is the new provost at the University of Alaska Southeast. Thank you so much for joining us today. Gunath Cheesh, for coming on the show. And I look forward to having you on again to talk about many more things that are going on with the university as we continue through the year.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me on, Boston.
Gunath Cheesh. Do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, a preview of this year's Climate Fair for a Cool Planet from 350 Juno in Theater Alaska. Also, the Masters Fair is firing up again. And SAIL, Southeast Alaska Independent Living, is hosting a movie celebrating Disability Pride Month. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road, which is where UAS is. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, or find out how to be a guest on the show. You can also find our live stream archives on KTOO's YouTube page. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Programming support for Juno Afternoon comes from listeners and viewers like you and Alaska Airlines Club 49, Hanson Gress, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gonna cheese.